There could be but one alternative here: either the spirit was no spirit, but the medium, or the medium had been transfigured, after the fashion of the Oriental thaumaturgists. I determined to settle that question conclusively before leaving town. The next evening, having obtained Mrs. Compton's cheerful consent to submit to my tests, I removed her earrings, and seating her in the chair in the cabinet, fastened her in it by passing some number 50 sewing thread through the perforations in her ears, and sealing the ends to the back of the chair, with sealing wax, which I stamped with my private signet. I then fastened the chair to the floor, with thread and wax in a secure manner. Observe, in the sketch, how impossible it was for her to move an inch from her place. She could not have been more firmly fixed to her seat, if irons had been passed through her flesh, and riveted in the wood. A slight pull would suffice to snap the frail thread, and betray her attempt to cheat. The persons present, beside myself and the medium, were John S. Smith, and J. H. Hardy, of Elmira, N. Y., Mrs. Florence Beardsley, of London, Canada, Benjamin Wicks, of Havana, N. Y., David Lee, of Washington, Mrs. Margaret Compton, of Havana, William Anderson and Friend, of Watkins, Mr. Peter Compton, and two of the medium's little girls. All but myself sat upon chairs placed in a double row opposite the cabinet door, and I took my place near the railing of the stairway, not more than 5 feet from the same. In front of me stood a Fairbanks platform scale, which, in hope of verifying the Chittenden weighing experiment, I had procured for the occasion. The light being lowered, as is usual in these seances, and the cabinet door closed, we sang vigorously for some minutes, when across the aperture above the door floated a pair of hands, from left to right, and then disappeared. Then came another pair of larger size, and then a voice, which, if not that of the late Daniel Webster, was its counterpart in depth, sonorousness, and fullness of tone as I recall it to memory, addressed me, giving me full instructions and cautions as to how I was to proceed. In entering the cabinet while the spirit was outside, I was at liberty to feel everywhere, and satisfy myself that the medium was not there, but I must be careful not to actually touch the chair. I might pass my hands as near it as I chose, but actual contact with its substance I was requested to avoid. Then, again, I was to lay upon the platform of the scale a covering of some kind so that the spirit need not come into contact with the wood or metal. I promised compliance, and soon had the satisfaction to see the white-robed girl in the open doorway. She stepped out, moved around, touched several persons, and then approached the scale. I sat ready with one hand upon the poise and the other at the end of the beam, and as she stepped up, took her weight without the loss of a second. She then retired into the cabinet, whereupon, lighting a parlor match, I read the figures. She weighed only 77 pounds, although she had not the stature of a child. Can the reader imagine my feelings as I sat there in the gloom, not more than a foot and a half from a speechless and veiled figure, a supposed visitor from the other world, who had gathered unto herself an evanescent corporeal body, of which my scales could now take cognizance, and the next moment would be dissipated into a vapor more unsubstantial than the electric fluid itself. This was, indeed, being face to face with the dead, or rather with the quick who had tasted death, and passed on into an immortal life where death is known no more, and the grave is regarded as the birthbed of the human race. The spirit came out again, and then I entered the cabinet, looking carefully everywhere, and feeling cautiously but thoroughly all about, but, as before, finding no vestige of the medium. The chair was there, but no bodily presence sat in it. I then asked the spirit girl to make herself lighter if possible, and she stepped again upon my scales. As rapidly as before, I got the beam at poise, and, she retiring as before, I read the figure 59 pounds. She appeared yet again, and this time passed from one to another of the spectators, patting this one's head, the other's hand, sitting upon Mr. Hardy's knee, laying her hand gently upon my head, stroking my cheek, and then mounting the scale for me to make my final test. This time she weighed only 52 pounds, although from first to last there had been no apparent alteration in her dress or bulk. The scientific reader will now recall the weighing of Honto by Mr. Pritchard, and be pleased to see the figures in comparison with those above. It is quite unnecessary to dwell upon the importance of these experiments as opening up a most remarkable field of scientific inquiry. It is to be regretted that I was prevented, by the necessity of completing this volume to fulfill publishers' engagements, from pursuing the subject, but a beginning has, at least, been made. I should add that the ascertained stature of Honto is 5 feet 5 inches, while that of the Havana spirit, as by actual measurement, varied within 10 minutes, from 5 feet 10 and 1 half to 4 feet 8 and 3 quarters. These measurements were not taken upon the same evening as the weighing, but at the preceding séance. Upon this occasion I found Mrs. Compton's height to be 5 feet 4 inches, and the Indian chief's 5 feet 5 and 7 eighths inches. After the weighing Katie appeared no more, but, after a few minutes had elapsed we were dressed in the guttural bass of the Indian chief, and he showed himself at the door. A colloquy ensued in the Indian language between him and Mr. Hardy, who lived some years among the Western tribes, and who certified to the reality of the speech uttered by the spectre chief. The Seneca again could not come out because of alleged lack of power, but before retiring he gave a terrific war-whoop that made the rafters ring again, and then a peace-whoop as an adieu. This manifestation alone would seem to indicate that the poor, nervously fluttering medium had no part in the appearance of at least this one spectre. After the brave's retirement, we had some more conversation with sundry spirit voices, and then the light being turned up, various faces floated into sight above the door and faded away, and then the circle closed. I went inside with a lamp, and found the medium just as I left her at the beginning of the séance, with every thread unbroken and every seal undisturbed. She sat there, with her head leaning against the wall, her flesh as pale and as cold as marble, her eyeballs turned up beneath the lids, her forehead covered with a death-like damp, no breath coming from her lungs, and no pulse at her wrist. When every person had examined the threads and seals, I cut the flimsy bonds with a pair of scissors, and, lifting the chair by its back and seat, carried the cataleptic woman out into the open air of the chamber. She lay thus inanimate for 18 minutes, life gradually coming back to her body, until respiration and pulse and the temperature of her skin became normal. I then put her upon the scale. She weighed 121 pounds. End.